Bitcoin is an investment, but it's not like any investment we've seen before.
This hasn't happened before. You haven't had a whole new asset class come into being where you had to sort of figure out who was responsible for it.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. As cryptocurrency evolves, it's less about buying things and more about trading. Regulators are trying to figure out how to protect investors since prices have swung from $20,000 to less than $6,000 in just a few months. But no one has yet decided how to classify Bitcoin and other digital currencies. Because they're not really currencies, they're not exactly securities to be regulated like stocks and bonds, and they're not exactly commodities since there's no physical product. Nathaniel Popper covers crypto at the New York Times. He wrote a book called Digital Gold, Bitcoin and the Inside Story of the Misfits. I asked him how both regulators and investors are thinking about Bitcoin.
They sort of hold it as this sort of rare object, sort of like gold. It's a digital commodity. I mean, that's part of what the technology allowed for the first time, was that you could have a scarce digital object that couldn't just be copied. So I think, you know, commodity is probably a pretty good description for what it is, but you've had other agencies that have called it different things. You know, again, you had the SEC sort of talking about it as money. The IRS has called it property. So it's all, you know, everybody's sort of trying to get their heads around how to think about this and you know, what rules should apply to it.
Yeah, because of course, when you say commodity, you think of a thing like a pig or gold. Is there some plan on the horizon? Does the U.S. government have a deadline to figure out how to classify digital assets for the purpose of trading?
You know, the U.S. government has never really developed a plan to deal with the rise of this whole crazy technology. The U.S. government has been generally just very reactive. You know, I think part of the problem is that this hasn't happened before. You haven't had a whole new asset class come into being where you had to sort of figure out who was responsible for it. And I think, you know, there's some sense that probably this is something for somebody higher up who's overseeing all these agencies to sort of figure out. I think, you know, certainly within the Trump administration, this hasn't been a priority. Although now with prices falling, you're also seeing the impact of it not being regulated, in that you have a lot of people who bought it not knowing what the rules were, not really knowing what it is, and now they are in the red.
Right. Because it's funny, the way you describe it sounds so like it should be really easy. Like, oh, okay, just set up a set of rules for trading digital commodities. This probably won't be the last one. And then not only would it potentially protect investors, but people could make a whole bunch of money.
The government has put a pretty heavy priority on saying, we don't want to stop this innovation. We think there's something important here. And we're worried that if we put new rules on all of this, that it might stop the innovation and drive this overseas, or just stop it altogether.
So then what, given that it sounds like we'll be in this kind of gray zone for a while, what should people know? What are the main things people need to know if they want to invest in crypto, other than hold on to your hat?
Yeah, certainly that's the most important thing. I mean, I think, yeah, the most important thing to know when you're investing in crypto is that you really have none of the protections that you have in any other financial markets. And that's sort of the scariest thing about it. Of course, that's, you know, risk and reward is supposed to be in inverse relation. And you have that. You have had that here in the past. But I think, you know, part of the concern is that if you continue having these sort of blow-ups and hackings and so forth, that eventually people are not going to want to come back to this, and that is going to hurt the long-term value. If investors realize that this is a place in which they are completely exposed, at some point they're not going to keep coming back and buying this. And so, you know, it's the sort of promise and the peril of Bitcoin and all these other currencies, is that, you know, you're really on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was trying to think of the last time that a brand new speculative asset came into existence, and I often hear this compared to like the Dutch tulip bulb bubble of the early 1600s, where it's like, you know, okay, so a lot of people invested in tulip bulbs, and there was this huge speculation market, and then it crashed, and It's not like there are now existing regulations that I know of about how to trade tulip bulbs. Like, is it possible that this will all just go away?
It is a distinct possibility that it will go away. I mean, this, you know, the Bitcoin network can keep running as long as new computers hook into it. I tend to think that it's not going to go away entirely, at least some of these bigger currencies and certainly the ideas behind them. I mean, I think the idea of having scarce digital assets, there's something useful in that beyond just sort of creating speculative commodities. I think, you know, the question is Bitcoin itself or is Ether, the currency in Ethereum, is that going to be the thing that's around, or is it going to be some new version that sort of figures out the kinks and flaws that have really kept this from being more useful up to this point?
Nathaniel Popper is the author of Digital Gold and a finance and tech reporter at the New York Times. At a workshop Monday about cryptocurrency and fraud, the Federal Trade Commission said consumers have already lost over $500 million this year in crypto-related scams. And if you're still confused about how Bitcoin works, I've got a video explainer over at marketplace.org. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM. Ever have something you don't quite understand? Don't we all? Ask us to explain it on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, make me smart, and request something, anything, for me and Kai Rizdahl to explain. And you can always say, play Marketplace Tech from any smart speaker.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.